That was me filling my coffee mug with some organic fair trade coffee from Kenya. It's good stuff. And it's really the only kind of coffee you can drink if you care about marginalized peoples and the environment. You can scream and shout with all your might, dig in your heels and hold on tight. Either you are wrong or I am right. But the thing you have to remember is there is no objective truth. We're going to talk about that a little bit today here on the podcast. Here we hear the people cheering for the liberation and the freedom. And this is really good coffee. This fair trade stuff is fantastic. And of course, that is the sound of the impending war that Donald Trump is going to be leading us into. Soon the United States will find itself at war with Russia. And who knows how terrible it's going to get with, you know, Donald Trump mowing people down in the streets and all of the increased attacks against Muslims, the increased attacks against women, with the rape rates have skyrocketed since Donald Trump has taken office. And we can see that the patriarchy is reasserting itself and marginalized peoples are being taken advantage of more than ever before. You know, we made so many great strides under the Obama administration with his leadership and all of the fantastic laws that he passed, his strengthening of the Americans with Disabilities Act and his strengthening of anti-discrimination laws and all the things that just happened in the United States under the Obama administration when there was a greater awareness of the needs of disadvantaged peoples and minorities and women. Corporations were getting on board and elevating women to the board of directors and CEOs. We were making all of this fantastic progress. And then when, you know, and I'm still really traumatized by this. If I may break into tears at some point. If I do, you'll just have to forgive me. But with Donald Trump becoming president, and the very obvious interference by the Russian government for whatever reasons, and all of these fake news people on Twitter and the internet and everything, just that whole, it's been months and I'm still just really traumatized by the Trump presidency. Okay, anyway, I don't want to talk about that because I'll break down, I'll start crying. What I do want to talk about to start off with is the fact that there is no such thing as an objective truth. Because there's a lot of people out there nowadays, especially with the Trump administration and all the terrible things they're doing, talking about how there are these objective truths that are, you know, things that are, they're real and not real, as if this is some sort of solid, you know, factual, confirmable thing. And it's not, because you have to understand that in an advanced society, in an educated society like ours, there is no such thing as truth. That which is truth is something which is continuously redefined by the diverse experiences of the peoples in a society. And for a long time here in the United States, because of the racism and the patriarchy and the oppression of women, that which is considered truth was primarily defined by patriarchal, cisgendered white men. Now, especially after the 8 years of Obama's presidency, when we made these great strides. And so all these people who were previously marginalized have now made their way into mainstream society, right? Women are much more prominent in businesses and government. You have the LGBTQ community asserting themselves and rising to power. Marginalized peoples, persons of color, Muslims, with all of these people entering into mainstream society and having their voices finally heard for the first time, and how much longer their voices will be heard under the Trump presidency, it's really hard to tell. I've heard rumors about impending crackdowns on Muslims within the United States and how there may be laws passed in the future that permitting women to not have jobs and things like that. Who knows what sort of terrible things the Trump presidency is going to do. But right now, we're still basking in the afterglow of 8 years of the Obama presidency and his leadership and his devotion to bringing marginalized peoples of all kinds into mainstream society, making their voices heard. And as all of those people enter into the mainstream, and as their voices become heard, and as their vision and the way they see the world is presented to others, okay, the truth, such as it is going to change. Okay, I mean, for example, here's an example. For a long time, under the patriarchal system in the United States, the path to acquiring wealth was regarded as you would go out and you'd get a job, maybe you'd get an education, and you would get a job, and you would do these things for some company or some corporation, or you would create your own business, and you would do things and people would pay you and you would make money. And that's a very outdated, patriarchal, cisgendered way of looking at the world. Now we know that the way you make money is by providing a greater service to the community as a whole throughout systems that can be monitored by, sponsored by, regulated by the government, right? So, example, instead of forming a computer company and making computers that allow people to get on the internet and be racist and sexist and homophobic and spread their hate and talk about things like global warming denial and all of this other stuff, the path to making money is go to college, get a degree in something useful, right? Something where you can serve other people, like a liberal arts degree of some type. Communications, or what's a really good, like social work or feminist theory, right? Something where you can learn good, solid, soft skills that will allow you to go out, get a job with the government or with a nonprofit, so that you can, instead of focusing on making money for the company, which is the cisgendered patriarchal version, you need to get a job where you can focus on helping people and where somebody else is taking care of the money side, right? The government, the donors, if you're a nonprofit, whatever it is, where your funding is coming from government funds or I don't really understand where money comes from, but it doesn't really matter. If you work for the government or a nonprofit, the money will just show up. That's how this works. Again, see, this whole cisgendered patriarchal thing where, well, how are you going to get money for that? No, the money will just, if you're out there doing what you love and you're caring about other people, that's what's important. The money will just show up. It always does. You just follow your emotions and your passions. So get a job working for a nonprofit, helping disadvantaged peoples, helping alcoholic children or children who drug abuse, all of these things usually brought on, of course, by the bad influence of their fathers. Work with these people, Do what it is that motivates you deep in your heart to show compassion towards other people, and that's how you're going to make money. Now, 100 years ago, no one would have ever believed that, but 100 years ago, our culture here in the United States was dominated by cisgendered white men. Now that they are being drowned out by all of the marginalized peoples who have been elevated under the Obama administration and under this new age of enlightenment, which hopefully is not going to end now that Donald Trump is the president, we all have to recognize that truth is a very fluid thing. It's like gender, right? There's no specific genders. This whole, there's boys and girls. No, there's no such thing, people. Every individual has their own specific gender. The truth is exactly the same way. Truth, what is truth? What is real and not real? What is true and untrue? Is just like gender. These things are completely specific to each and every individual. Every single person has their own truth. Every single person has their own gender, right? There's not like some economics out there. There's not some concept of right and wrong. These are outdated, patriarchal nonsense notions. And it's going to be hard for us in the resistance to... Excuse me, I'm breaking up just thinking about the Trump presidency. It's going to be hard for us to maintain our credibility with these beliefs and to continue to push these beliefs into the mainstream under the Trump presidency. But we have to do whatever we can in order to hold out until, 4 years from now when we can get another light bringer into the office of the presidency. And who that's going to be yet, I don't really know. I mean, I'm pushing for Michelle Obama. I think she would be an excellent choice for the first female president. And she's a very intelligent and accomplished woman. She's done many, many things in her life. I know that she's run some businesses and she's invented some things. And I know I've heard she's done some other stuff. And I think she would be fantastic. And of course, there's the possibility that Hillary Clinton might run again. I mean, Hillary Clinton was by far the most qualified person to ever run for president in the United States, ever. And she would have made the best president that we would have ever had, especially coming after the Lightbringer, Barack Obama. I think that she could have really taken his legacy and taken it even farther, because our great accomplishments under Obama would have been even more magnified by Hillary Clinton and her intimate knowledge and understanding of foreign relations and foreign policy, and this her compassion for the poor people and for marginalized peoples and disadvantaged peoples and everything else. So yeah, I mean, I'm still taking her loss pretty rough. Okay, now talking about all of this, so how are we going to make our society better and more fair and less patriarchal? So studies have shown that one of the things that helps people to become more open-minded, more tolerant, more diverse is, of course, a college education. Now, there are certain majors in college that are less inclined to make people this way. But still, almost all college education will ultimately result in people being more diverse, more tolerant. So what we've got to do is we've got to get more people in college. So I've been thinking about how can we solve this, and I think I've come up with a great solution. President Obama, we, of course, when he was elected, there was a huge healthcare crisis in the United States. Studies had shown that there were people dying in the streets for lack of medical care. There were people in homeless shelters who couldn't get medical care. There were minorities and disadvantaged peoples, and especially the LGBTQ community was having a hard time getting access to healthcare because doctors, especially, you know, older white men doctors who were cisgendered and patriarchal, were not willing to treat them and deal with the very specific needs of the LGBTQ community. And thankfully, President Obama passed Obamacare, and most of those problems had been solved until Donald Trump was elected, and now he's trying to take away Obamacare and plunge all of these people back into a situation where they have no access to health care. But the Affordable Health Care Act provided health care for all of these people and solved all of their problems and moved us at least closer. Now, it's not perfect. It's still not the single-payer system like you have in Canada or the United Kingdom, but it got us a lot closer to that. And sometimes you have to move towards, and I know a lot of you don't like to hear this, but sometimes you have to move towards equality just one little step at a time, because if you push too hard against the patriarchy, it's going to push back. But I think something we've learned is that if you move in slow incremental changes, you can sort of sneak up on them, because remember, they're not really that smart. I mean, right, the cisgendered patriarchal white men, I mean, obviously the fact that they are cisgendered and the fact that they support the patriarchy, that tells us they're not very smart, they're not tolerant, diverse, enlightened, all of the things that have allowed us to make progress in our society and start moving the United States towards a more fair, inclusive, diverse mindset overall. So the Affordable Health Care Act solved all of these problems and did it in a brilliant way. Obama simply said to people, you will purchase health insurance, or you will pay a penalty. And of course, the Supreme Court, in their wisdom, understood that this was a good thing, and, you know, stood behind Obama's decision on this and said, yes, the government can say to you that you're going to have to go out and spend your money, buy this thing. And they said this was a tax, and this is completely makes total sense, right? Taxes. The government says you have to pay a tax. It's for the good of everyone. I mean, without government, without taxes, we would have almost nothing. We would live in some kind of terrible society where there was no electricity, there's no running water, we wouldn't have cell phones. I mean, it would just, you know, and there people would be dying in the streets. Thus, I want to propose the following. And I think whoever runs for president against Donald Trump in 4 years, I think this should be at the forefront of their campaign. I think we need an Affordable College Act. And what the Affordable College Act should do is, just like the Affordable Health Care Act says, you will buy health insurance, or you will pay additional taxes in order to compensate other people due to the fact that with you, by not having health insurance, you are taking advantage of other people. And that's why you're paying the additional tax. The same thing should happen with college education. You should be required to get a college education. Everybody should be required to go to college. If you choose not to go to college, then you should pay an additional tax penalty. Because here's the thing. First of all, people who go to college, as we know, become more diverse, more tolerant, more enlightened, much less apt to be patriarchal and to maintain a cisgendered view of the world. And so as a result, those people contribute more to society via their understanding. If you're not going to go to college, and if you're not going to acquire the necessary skills and understanding to contribute to the new world that we're trying to work towards, then you should pay a penalty in order to atone for your unwillingness to cast aside your hatred. I mean, that's all it can really be. If you're not willing to go to college and to learn about all the things you've been told in the past that are untrue, right? That all of the, because you've got all of the media and the commercials and the television and the movies, and then of course the God the internet with the alternate right and the way they've taken over the internet. It's like almost everything you see on the internet nowadays is nothing but hate speech, because the alt-right and these Donald Trump people, they've just infiltrated everything. Like, you go out and you see these, you'll still see the Trump Pence signs, and you see the Make America Great, and it's just this pure hatred that just oozes from everything. And so there's people out there, they're young and they're growing up and they're impressionable, and they're being exposed to all of this hatred. And oh, and then the manosphere. I read about the manosphere in an article in, well, I think it was Woman's Day magazine. There's this part of the internet, and I would not look at any of this stuff, because I don't think I could. I mean, I personally have worked really hard to overcome my cisgendered perspectives that were hammered into me as a child by my father, who, you know, he's just very cisgendered and patriarchal, and he forced all of this upon me, and I've been struggling really hard to come to terms with all the ways in which I need to open myself up to the feminine elements within me and to embrace, you know, to embrace other people's. Because this is not something I grew up with, so I'm really struggling to embrace marginalized peoples and peoples of color, and the LGBTQ community and women and all of this other stuff. And so I've read about this manosphere thing, and I'm not going to go look at this, because I'm making progress, but I have a long way to go, and I don't want to expose myself to anything that might push me back towards the cisgendered worldview that I used to have. But I've heard there's this manosphere thing on the internet, and it's basically a bunch of cisgendered patriarchal white men who are talking about how men should be allowed to rape women, and women are property, and women shouldn't be allowed to get abortions or have birth control. And it sounds like the most terrible thing. Just thinking that there's still people in the year 2017 who would think and believe and say and write things like that. Okay, so this is the point. That sort of thing is all over the media, all over the internet, in movies and television. Everywhere you look, you see white men being portrayed, well, cisgendered white men being portrayed as somehow better than disadvantaged peoples and minorities and marginalized peoples and peoples of color and all this stuff. Going to college is one of the best ways to help overcome all of that propaganda that's coming at you. So every person who doesn't go to college, those people are, I mean, again, look at who voted for Donald Trump, right? It was uneducated white men, primarily. If they had gone to college, they would have been exposed to a diverse plethora of ideas and worldviews from other people who aren't like them. And they would have had college professors there to explain to them why their cisgendered patriarchal worldviews are wrong. And they would have been able to gain a better understanding and of just everything, right? And then they would have looked at Hillary Clinton and they would have seen her for who she truly is. And they would have voted for her. And there's no way Donald Trump would have won if the Affordable College Act were in effect. The more people we can get into college, the sooner we can arrive at a more egalitarian society that moves past the cisgendered, racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, Islamophobic worldview that is currently taking over. Another thing, studies have shown that people with college educations make more money. Now, of course, if you make more money, you pay more income taxes. So people who make less money are paying less taxes and are, in fact, because they're not paying as much taxes, they're not paying their fair share. Because you need to have a job, you need to have a good job, you need to be making money so that you can pay taxes so that we can help make reparations for the wrongs that we've done in the past, right? We need to continue to make sure that welfare money is available to, and it's not, it's, I'm sorry, I call it welfare. It's not really welfare. That's my cisgendered. It's money that these people deserve, okay? Marginalized peoples, they've earned whatever payments are coming to them from the government. Okay, and if you're a privileged white person and you're not paying additional taxes, then you're discriminating against these people. It's that simple. So for those of you who would choose, for whatever reason, I don't know why you would choose, but would choose not to, and student loans are not difficult to get. So when people say, well, you can't make the affordable, you can't enforce the Affordable College Act because not everybody can afford to go to college. No, loans are perfectly easy to get. The payment rates are easy. And once you've got a quality education in something that's going to allow you to help people and create value for society, right? Social work or international communications, or you go into political science or philosophy, or you could teaching, right? I mean, the children are the future. We need people who understand why the patriarchal cisgendered view of the world is wrong and can get teaching jobs and go out there and get children started early with an understanding of diversity and tolerance and multiculturalism and acceptance and coexisting to combat the cisgenderedness of our current system early on. Right, so all of these things, these are high-paying jobs, and they should be high-paying jobs, and these are things where you can get student loans for these, and you get your diploma, and you can get out there, and you can work for a nonprofit, or you can work for the government. So there's no excuse. There's no excuse for everyone to not go to college. But if you were to choose to not go to college, then you should, just like under the Affordable Health Care Act, you need to pay additional taxes to compensate society as a whole. Because if you don't go to college, studies have shown people who don't go to college are more likely to be on government assistance programs. And not because they're disadvantaged, but simply because they're not willing to do the work. So you're going to need to pay those additional taxes to compensate the other people around you for the fact that you are essentially stealing from them by not going to college, by not taking out your student loans, and by not going to college, by not learning about diversity. You're holding the rest of us back by clinging to your uneducated cisgendered view of the world. And speaking about holding people back, I want to segue to something else now. This is another thing that I heard is being talked about on the Manosphere, which again, I haven't seen because I can't look at something like that. And once again, since Donald Trump was elected, we can see how this is... I'm sorry. Okay. I have to compose myself. How... And I know I used to be guilty of this myself in the past. This whole idea of men determining... thinking they determine what makes women attractive. Like when you say, okay, so like these beauty contests, which are the most hideous things ever, all of these women being paraded around and objectified for their bodies. And the judges, there's judges out there who are actually, some of the, I mean, I've never watched one of these before, but somebody on the internet said that some of the judges for these beauty contests are sometimes men. And this idea that men, cisgendered men can somehow determine what makes a woman attractive. I mean, this is just nonsense. This is exactly the sort of thing that a college education will help you combat. For men to think that they, cisgendered men, to think that they can determine what makes women attractive. No. Cisgendered men have no idea about what femininity truly is. And this is something I've learned the hard way, because I used to be, when I was younger, and because of all the patriarchal oppression that I was exposed to when I was young, I thought that, an attractive woman, well, she's a woman who is thin, and she has big breast, and she has long hair, and she smiles, and I thought all of these stereotypes. I'm just like, now that I'm learning more and more and more about how I've been brainwashed by the patriarchy, and about how feminism is leading us to a better understanding of the gender relations, and then of course how there is no such thing ultimately as gender, right? How, well, first you're like, well, there's gender relations, but then the gender relations, of course, because as we said, every person is their own gender. So gender relations is much more complicated than this outdated patriarchal view of male and female, because there's no such thing as male and female. Okay, every person has their own unique gender identity. So gender relations is, in fact, this huge myriad network of connections. And so amongst all of that, for cisgendered white men to show up and think, well, we're going to determine what makes women attractive. Well, no, you can't do that. If anything, it's women who can decide what makes women attractive, because women, as we know, women, studies have shown that women have more brain activity than men. Women have more self-awareness than men. Women have a greater connection with nature than men do. Women have much better linguistic skills than men do. Studies have shown that women are superior to men in almost every way. That scientists have tested men versus women, women always come out on top. There was a study I heard about a while back that showed that women were better fighter plane pilots than men were, right? And war, of course, going around killing people has traditionally been the realm of men. But studies are starting, and we have women in the military now, and this is becoming more common, and so we're getting more and more evidence. We're seeing that women are better military leaders than men are. Women are better at being soldiers than men. Women are better at following orders. Women are better at flying fighter aircraft. So as men, we need to be willing to step back and learn from women, because they are simply, for whatever reasons, better at most things than we are, and we need to accept this. And the idea that cisgendered white men can sit there and look at women and go, oh, this woman's more attractive than that woman. I mean, on what basis can we possibly make such a decision? It's women who have the intimate and the passionate, the emotional and the intellectual knowledge of who and what they are and of femininity, they're the ones who can make this decision. And we need to defer to that. It's all a part of removing the influences of patriarchy from our society and from our thought process. Here's another manifestation of the patriarchy that we all encounter all the time. And this takes us back to the Affordable College Act and getting an education in the proper sort of subject that allows you to help other people, right? Social sciences, gender studies, ethnic studies. There is this patriarchal concept in our society that people should help themselves, right? That you should work hard and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and accomplish things. And we know now that this is all nonsense. Again, this was a way that cisgendered white men in the past, who already had wealth and already had everything, just kept other people down by telling, oh, you have to work hard and you have to do stuff by yourself and you have to accomplish things if you ever want to be like me. We know that that's not true. This whole myth of solving problems on your own and helping yourself, this is a patriarchal construct. It's a way of oppressing people. And if you buy into it, what you're actually doing is rejecting other people who should be helping you. So instead of working hard to start your own business and make money, what you should be doing instead is you should be turning to government programs and nonprofits who are there to help you escape poverty. Okay, and you work with them, because by working with, say for example, a nonprofit organization which is going to help you find a job, you're allowing those people to help you and you're not rejecting them, and you're creating this spirit of community and the diversity and the tolerance and everything that goes into that, right? If you just start your own business on your own, well, what you're saying to the nonprofits and say social workers and things like that who would normally be there to help you, if you start a business on your own, you're rejecting them. Or let's say that you, because of traumas that you have endured from your constant exposure to the patriarchal society and cisgenderedness and racism and sexism, homophobia, let's say that these things have driven you to start drinking too much alcohol, and so you've become what is classified by the cisgendered society as an alcoholic, okay? We know that you're really just a disadvantaged person. We understand that. You and I understand that. So if you try to stop being an alcoholic by yourself, what you're doing is you're asserting that you can do this on your own and you don't need other people. And that right there is a manifestation of the patriarchy, the idea of doing something on your own. Okay? In order for you to reduce your drinking, you need to turn to a nonprofit organization or a government organization or something like that, someone who's going to help you through that process, right? By reaching out and embracing those people, you are letting them into your life. You are opening yourself up to all of the opportunities that will come from doing this. You're giving that person a reason to help you. You now have a reason because you're working with them. It's this gestalt process that allows everyone to be part of a community. So you're not rejecting them, you're accepting them. You're giving them a purpose, you're giving yourself a purpose, and through that community, you can stop drinking. But you can't just stop drinking by yourself. That's patriarchal. You can't start your own company and make money by yourself. That's patriarchal. But if you work with a nonprofit organization or a government organization to fill out your resume and get a job, you know, and so you're doing something like in a factory or a cubicle or something, that's much more, that's a greater service to the community, and that is a rejection of the patriarchy. And you may think I'm talking about the patriarchy a little bit too much, but speaking as a privileged white man who is struggling hard to overcome his privilege, I can tell you that as I look around, I see the patriarchy everywhere. Here's something that occurred to me the other day. I was going to cross the street, and I'm looking at the little street crossing sign there, and it has the little red hand that means don't cross the street. And I'm like, oh my, and suddenly I realize how incredibly racist that is, because what the red hand that stops you from crossing the street is a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's an attack against Native Americans. Right, because there's the stereotype of Native Americans holding up their hand and going, "How?" Right, we see that in all of the movies in which the Native Americans are always portrayed as the bad guys, and the cisgendered white male cowboys ride in and shoot them all down because, "Oh, look, we're white men. We're here to save the day. Yay, patriarchy." And the Indian, that I'm so, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm still trying to overcome my patriarchy. The Native Americans, I apologize to, when I put this podcast out, I'll be sure and put a trigger warning in the notes that I accidentally called, I referred to Native Americans as Indians. I'm very, very sorry. I apologize. I deeply hope nobody out there was offended by that. Native Americans are unfairly portrayed by mainstream society as holding up their hand and going, "How?" And so there's this red hand being held up. I'm like, this is an attack on American Indians. Oh my God, I'm sorry. Native Americans. I'm really sorry. I apologize. It's hard. I mean, after all these years of indoctrination that I went through, and I didn't have the opportunity when I was younger to go to college and to learn better. That's why I'm in the process right now of applying for college loans, and I'm trying to decide what I'm going to major in. I'm thinking about a lot of things. Obviously, gender studies is a big one. Ethnic studies, huge. Feminist theory. I mean, I think if I don't major in feminist theory, I'm obviously going to have to minor in feminist theory, because I have a lot of baggage that I have to get rid of in order to do my part to get us away from where we are right now with Donald Trump as the president, and start moving back towards the egalitarian society that President Barack Obama was leading us towards, in which a President Hillary Clinton could have quite possibly completed. So there's the red hand that stops you. How? The racial slur against Native Americans. And then when the sign changes, it shows a white, of course, a white man crossing the street. Thus, of course, saying, well, look, only cisgendered white men are allowed to cross the street. That's just an insult to every other person out there, regardless of how you identify. And people don't see this stuff because they've been around it so much. It's become like the background It's the background noise in our society. This sort of patriarchal, racist, sexist, you know, homophobe. I mean, what if you're a, what if you identify as a trans person? So only white men can cross the street. It's just the racism and the sexism, the homophobia, the transphobia, and of course now the rise of Islamophobia. I mean, with all of the great things, all the positive things, all the contributions that Muslims have made in the history of the United States, most of which, of course, have been oppressed by the patriarchy, by the Christian patriarchy, because they don't want you to know about all the accomplishments of Muslims in the United States, all the things they've done to contribute to our society. It's a lot for us to overcome, and we're going to have to work really hard to deal with. I'm a little speechless. I still feel very speechless about the whole Trump presidency thing. I mean, with the climate change denial, his hatred of Muslims, you know, his hatred of the LGBT community, especially his focused hatred on transsexuals, people who identify as other genders, and just gender fluids and gender queers. We have made such great strides. Okay, but I want to go out on a positive note here. I want to talk about another idea I had that I want to throw out, because I think this is also really important. There have been scientific studies that have shown that the human brain is not fully developed until a person is about 25 years old. And looking at this and thinking about this, I think, I see just another place in our society where the patriarchy has historically oppressed women and children. And that's in the realm of child support. Traditionally, whenever men have gotten women pregnant and then refuse to marry them or whatever, and their child support is involved, men have had to pay child support up until the time the child is 18 years old. And I think that's incredibly unfair. Because if a person's brain is still developing until they're 25 years old, I think that men should be required to pay child support up until their children are 25 years old. And keep in mind that part of developing a person's brain is, of course, a college education. That's why the Affordable College Act is so important. So not only should the man have to pay child support until the child is 25 years old, but I think they should also have to pay for the kids' college education. If they can't afford it, I mean, people say, well, maybe the men can't, they can afford the child support, but not the college, because college, okay, I understand college, but again, that's where loans come in. The father can take out loans, and right now, I don't know if parents, I think only people going to college can actually take out the loan. I don't know if other people can take the loan out for them, but I think here, this is where, again, we've got to get a progressive candidate in the race, somebody who's strong, somebody who can defeat Donald Trump. I guess thinking about President Trump, oh, it gives me shivers. We've got to get somebody in who can defeat Donald Trump and get the Affordable College Act passed. And as part of that, part of the Affordable College Act should be that parents can take out college loans. Well, not parents, fathers. Because fathers aren't really parents. We know, I mean, studies have shown that single mothers are far better at parenting than two-family nuclear patriarchal system. Again, that's the system I was raised in, and so I'm trying to overcome all of that. But single mothers are the best parents there are, with the possible exception of homosexual couples. There's still a lot of research being done at that. So far, it looks like lesbian couples are probably the best parents, just because of the intimate knowledge that they have, just naturally from being women, of how to raise children. And they're obviously better social skills and higher intelligence, higher IQ, all of this other stuff. But anyhow, part of the Affordable College Act should be that fathers who are paying child support for their children should be able to take out loans, take out education loans for their children in order to get their children into college, get them properly educated, help them get the correct view of the world, which is going to let them go forth. And then, of course, the fathers, and now, I'll agree, because they shouldn't have to start paying those loans back until the child turns 25. So once the child turns 25, the fathers can then be relieved of their child support duties, and the money that was going towards paying child support can go towards paying off the student loans that allowed their child to go to college and get the correct education and attain the correct understanding of the world and the correct understanding that there is no truth, that there is no gender, that these things are not binaries, that everything around us is dependent upon the experiences of people, and people are constantly changing. So yeah, Let me know in the comments and everything what you think about the Affordable College Act and what you would like to see in that, because I think this is going to be, I really want to get this started. I want to get people talking about this because I want the next progressive candidate for President of the United States to be talking about this. And I think that's it. I think for today, the very last thing I have to say is April Fools. Bitches. Greetings, it is I. Oh, it is the great one himself, the founder, Cynical Libertarian Society. Oh, god damn. That was maybe the roughest podcast I have ever done in my life. Holy shit. I've been wanting to do an April Fool's episode for years. The thing is, I would always remember, oh, I should do an April Fool's episode, but I'd always remember on, like, April the 15th. So finally, for the first fucking time in 5 years, or however long I've been thinking about doing this, I remembered before April 1st. Man, holy shit. It would, trying to think like a fucking femistatist, I mean, oh, boy, guys, that, my brain. You could probably hear the hesitations. Oh, God. To think that there are going to be some people. Hey. So if you have left-wing statist, social justice warrior, feminist statist friends, I want you to like take this. I should make an episode. I should make a copy of this that doesn't have the April Fools in it. Like, play this for them and stop it for the April Fools and see if they sit there and go, "Whoa, that's a great idea. The Affordable College Act. Yeah, we should force people to go to college like we force them to buy health insurance. Wow, that's a great idea." Right? I guarantee you, you can get single mothers will be on board with the fucking child support until 25. And making fathers take out loans. Come on, dude, you will get buy-in on this. And that's the terrifying part, is there are how many people out there that would listen to the first 52 minutes of this podcast, because I said April Fools at like 52 minutes and 15 seconds. How many people out there would listen to the first 52 minutes of this podcast and they would be 100% on board with everything I said? And that, my friends, the fact that those people exist and the fact... That's why Western civilization is dead, okay? There's no healthy civilization in which the ideas I presented in the first 52 minutes of this podcast would ever be regarded as anything but mental illness. Anyhow, all right, I'm busy as fuck around here with work. In theory, I'll be back on Monday with real podcasting. I got a lot of shit to finish up. I know I got to finish fucking, what do you call it? Not, I got to finish fucking too. I got to finish Cult of Personality, the Hussein Obama Blueprint for Change. I got to finish Internet is Not the Answer. I've got a list somewhere. I got something else, and it's monsoon season here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, so it's raining every fucking day. But anyhow, if you made it through the April Fools episode, because some of you guys, any regular listeners, were probably going, "What the fuck is this?" So anyhow, hopefully you made it through. And God, I'm serious. And then just trying to think like them. Oh, my brain hurts. I'm going to have to go make. I'm drinking fair trade organic coffee. Oh God, fuck. No, I'm not. Okay, I'm not. Ah, shit. Anyway, I'm gonna have to go get some fucking food and make a martini now, because my brain hurts. I'm serious, guys. That was fucking painful. You have no idea how fucking painful that was. All right, remember, the email address is God, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. Go over to CLS.LINK, CLS link, buy shit from Amazon. I got the banner up now, where you can just click on it, go buy anything in theory. Anyhow, go spend money, consume capitalism, transphobia, hate Muslims, Donald Trump is Satan, white men are all patriarchal, racist, yeah, whatever. Go do stuff. Go have a life. All right, thanks for listening. Bye.